When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Okay, everybody. It's hot inside anyways because the hot takes are flaming. I mean, Ryan is on fire already, Goodman. We didn't even start recording, and he came out of the shoot. We're like, Bob, save some bullets for the show. So it is the Ryan Goodman Tangway Along for the Ride podcast brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022, from football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. So Bet Online, where the game starts. Bob Ryan, starting with you. Ja Morant last night, 29 points against the Golden State Warriors. They won 10 in a row. Is it, you brought this up, Bob, is it going to be the era of Ja Morant?
All right, first of all, the end of the game, the last two baskets he made, especially the last one, that's stuff any of us who have ever played basketball know that that was not an ordinary finish, that left-hand finish of his. It was extraordinary, and it's something reserved for the very best of the best, especially at the moment. Okay, go look it up, folks. YouTube, just go look it up and see Ja Morant's game-finishing basket last night to cap off the 29-point game. I was just thinking, I think I was standing in the shower. You know, a lot of good thoughts come to us in the shower, you know? And some people in the car singing with the radio, and I do that too.
Bob. You have thoughts everywhere. Everywhere. You are, you have with showers.
I'm just going to give you a warning. If you're ever riding with me and Mac the Knife comes on, Bobby Darin, I sing with the song. I can't not do it. It's ingrained in me. I must sing along with Bobby Darin. Okay, now, I'm in the shower and I'm thinking, you know, once upon a time, a generation thought that basketball began with Dr. J. And then the next generation thought that basketball began with Michael Jordan. And now we have a generation that thinks that basketball began with LeBron James. Is the next generation going to think that basketball began with Ja Morant? I'm asking.
You know, it sounds like a ridiculous – if you had asked that question a month ago even, people would have scoffed at you and said you're out of your mind. Now – that is a reasonable question to ask, Bob, because, and again, this is a guy we've all known, like, how special he was. Coming out of the draft, I remember I said this plenty of times. I would take Ja ahead of Zion in terms of who I thought was going to be the better player. Now, Zion had that star quality to him, and again, the marketability. Well, Ja's going to have that because he can do everything. We've talked about this. He's a freak athlete. He's a terrific playmaker for others. He's got the court vision, the passing ability, the electrifying speed. There's everything. The only negative to Ja is he plays in Memphis right now. And people just still aren't, even though they've won as much as they've won this year, I still don't think, again, Memphis has that watchability factor yet. He needs a sidekick maybe for that. But yes, if they get a sidekick for him, Bob, then I think, yes, you could be looking at Ja as everywhere you look on the streets, you're seeing kids, and you're already starting to see it with Morant jerseys.
You know, there should be. And you're right about that, that the location is a slight drawback. But then again, remember when LeBron went to Cleveland, they were nothing.
Right.
And they had never been, had never won. And, you know, they had a couple of a nice little run in the 70s. And at the end of the, you know, at one point they were going to be anyway, but they never had climbed the mountaintop at all. And they weren't in the forefront of people's consciousness about professional basketball. He made that happen. And Ja just may be able to do that. I kept thinking about it, watching the game and listening to the crowd and thinking about, you know, Memphis has never had anything really to sink its teeth into. I mean, they've had some decent teams, but you know, they've never made a run, frankly, you know. And you know,
I don't know if they have enough.
No, I don't think yet.
They don't have enough. They're a good team. We talked about it. They're a fun team. They're likable, all that. But again, I think when you look at their roster, it's better than like the Cavs LeBron 1.0 rosters where like Mo Williams was the second best player on those teams. Right. It's better than that, but is it significantly? Is Jaren Jackson good enough to be a number two? Is Dylan Brooks good? Dylan Brooks has been playing great, great basketball.
Yeah, and he didn't play last night.
He's probably a number three guy. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, he's probably a really good number three guy for a championship contending team.
But where we are right now is that if you're a fan and you want to see them play because of him, period. And that's awesome. Enough. And that's enough to attract you to Memphis. And interesting, I didn't check what the preseason lineup was for how many network, you know, big time appearances the Grizz were going to get. I suspect not many. Frankly, I suspect the Grizz were not in the forefront of the programmers about how to, you know, align the NBA TV schedules.
So Luka or Ja today, gun to your head. Ja. Who are you taking? Are you taking Ja ahead of Luka now?
Well, I'm on record as once having overstimulated myself and saying that Luka takes my breath away. That was 2 years ago. And went a bit too far with that one. Yeah. He's still he has triple double the other night, you know, I'm happy. Look, Josh Moore is. Ja appears to be more viscerally entertaining, but Luka is more to the sophisticated basketball entertaining. But the average person would easily vote for Ja. I think no problem.
It's better.
I'm waffling. I'm officially waffling.
Okay. Well, they beat Golden State last night, which brings us to our next topic. And by the way, remember when Memphis was 10? They won 10 out of 12 without Ja Morant. Ja Morant, everybody went, well, is it Ja Morant? Yeah, I think we know what the deal is there. So speaking of Golden State, now everybody's talking about the return of Klay. Jeff, I'll start with you on this one. Does Klay Thompson, last night aside, you know, down the stretch, does he make, when it comes to playoff time, does he make Golden State unbeatable?
I mean, if he's healthy, if he gets back to 95, 98%, it's hard to imagine this team losing, right? I mean, now you've got Klay and Steph. You got Andrew Wiggins who fits in perfectly as your number three scorer. You've got arguably the best defender and the guy who gives you that kind of innate toughness and accountability and won't back down, and Draymond. The only piece that I'd love to see him get back, and I don't know when he's going to get back, is James Wiseman.
And
I think if they get Wiseman, he's the one thing they don't have. And man, if they could get Wiseman back, and I don't even mean like James Wiseman playing 28 minutes. I mean playing like, give you like 14, 15 key minutes, because Gary, you haven't seen him much yet. Bob, you haven't seen him much yet. He's 7 feet. He's super athletic. He's long. He can change the game in the defensive end. And I'll tell you what, like, he's the guy you can just throw the ball up to, or and he can outrun almost every big in the game. He can outrun him. So think of that, right? Klay on the wing. Steph pushing it. Wiggins driving the basket. Nobody is going to be looking at James Wiseman. So he, to me, is kind of that X factor that would put them even further over the top than they probably already are with a healthy Klay.
Here's what I'm keeping my eye on is Poole. And I think this is key, how he's going to adjust and how, you know, and all right, now in the first two games, we have the Dixfield notch sample only now, two games, you know. So, yeah, you know, all right. And now here's the deal so far. Thompson has played exactly 20 minutes in each game. Poole played 24 minutes in the first game and 22 in the second game. Thompson's had 17 and 14 points. Poole has had 14 and 12. He didn't shoot well last night. He was 3 for 11. He was 1 for 6 on threes. But I'm going to keep my eye on that one, because if Poole can adjust and become a super sub after being used to being a guy that they were starting to rely on. But it's not, he has to know. Now, we mentioned this last time. I don't know him. I know nothing about him. I don't know how stable he is. I don't know how grounded he is. I don't know how aware he is. I know none of that. I just know he's had a hell of a year so far, but he's going to have to adjust. And if he can do it and give them that kind of a prorated scoring and everything,
Bob, well, here's the thing.
That's going to be awesome.
Here's the thing. No matter who Jordan Poole is, and I don't know the answers to that either. I don't know him well enough, and I could talk to people around him, but he's playing for Steve Kerr. He's got Steph Curry and Clay around him. He's got Draymond to keep him a little bit accountable and in line if he gets out of line.
Yeah.
I don't worry about anybody. I think that team, the makeup of that team is so special, and it still baffles me that Kevin Durant didn't want to spend the rest of his career with Steph Curry and Steve Kerr, like, and Bob Myers. Like, what are we doing? Like, KD, you could have won however many titles, and instead you're walking to Brooklyn and playing with Kyrie for half the year. Like, what a dumb decision.
It was. And I think
what a dumb decision.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think when you look at Golden State, they're kind of Patriot-like to me, Jeff, where they've reinvented themselves. Because if you take a look at how they won before, I mean, you had Andre Iguodala coming off the bench. I mean, you had, you know, I think Childress. I mean, you had a different cast of characters.
Yeah.
You still have Steph. I mean, don't get me wrong. You still have Steph and Draymond and Clay's back. But now they've kind of reinvented themselves. And without Durant, they've kind of reinvented themselves. So that's a testament to the front office, because you guys have mentioned guys that people have never really heard of.
We thought the window was closing and almost closed 2 years ago with them, right? We thought once Clay got hurt a year, whatever it was, a year plus ago, when he got hurt for the second time, we were like, all right, the window's probably closed at this point. And then they make this trade for Andrew Wiggins, who's much maligned by people like myself, because he'll never live up to the hype of the number one player. He'll have some games where he's terrific, but you know, they paid him all this money in Minnesota when he never guarded anybody. So now he's never going to guard anybody at a high, high level, but he's done a better job. And again, he fits now. He doesn't have to be the savior. All he's got to do is be a piece that can go for 20, and nobody's got to take. Again, anytime Steph's on the court, everybody else is going to be played one-on-one. So now, Wiggins, you're one-on-one, and you're not one-on-one against the best defender on the court. Hmm. You're one-on-one against maybe the third best defender on the court now.
Well, so to answer the original question, that I would say that they're not going to be unbeatable, but they would go in as the favorite. I mean, for sure. If Clay returns to, as you say, fill in a blank, 80%, 85%, whatever. The early returns are impressive. He looks comfortable, right? Yeah. Isn't it a pleasure to watch a guy make a 15-footer? Isn't that nice? I like that. I'm so happy seeing that.
He can make a 5-footer. He can make a 15-footer. He can make a 25-footer.
Just remember, folks, he's the guy, not the other guy. He's the guy that had the 37-point quarter once upon a time. He's the guy. And by the way, once again, I reiterate, every time we do this, I'm duty-bound. Clay, I voted for you. Don't blame me. I voted for you. Okay, now, I get that on the table.
Yeah, right. Gary.
I think we need Bob to wear a Clay Thompson headband next time.
Ooh. I'd pay money to see Bob Ryan wear any kind of headband. I'll tell you that right now.
I bet he wore one. Back in the day, Bob, did you ever wear a headband?
No, I predate, there's a guy that was falling through the cracks of NBA history who gave us two things that have become permanent in the NBA. Who was it that introduced the headband and the shaved head?
Slick Watts?
Yes.
Was
bingo.
Nice job, Gary.
Hey.
Well, when he said the shaved head.
But he was the first one.
Yeah, Slick.
And that I remember that shaved the head. And young Michael, I don't know if Slick Watts was his inspiration, but at one point Michael said, oh, the hell with it. And it became his signature. But Slick Watts, ladies and gentlemen, gave us the two of them together.
Yeah.
He gave us the two of them together.
And the Sonics were a fun team to watch. You know, from downtown Freddie Brown, Sikma, all the way through Lonnie Shelton, they were fun.
And you know who's responsible for identifying Slick Watts and promoting him? Bill Russell.
Really? Yeah. Good job. Well, Russ doesn't get enough.
Who knew of Xavier in Louisiana? None of us.
Sure. Well, Russ doesn't get enough credit for that. All right, we want to move on to the rookies. Jeff, last night you were wondering, is there a rookie of the year?
I mean, listen, I thought it was going to be Eric Mobley.
Yeah, right now it'd be Mobley. I agree.
It's pretty obvious. I think it, you know, to me, he's probably the guy. I know if you look at it, you're saying a guy like Franz Wagner has picked up a lot of steam at this point, but Evan Mobley, I'm sorry, I think I said Eric Mobley. Evan Mobley has been terrific. And, you know, the big, Bob and I talked about this before the year a little bit about Mobley. My concerns, is he tough enough? Is he enough of a killer? He is so skilled. I mean, things he can do at 7 feet are ridiculous. And he's not a guy that wants to be something he's not, right? Every 7 footer now, what do they want to do? Go out and shoot threes. And Mobley was a guy at USC and early in his NBA career who's understood, like, where my bread is buttered. I'm better off around the basket, blocking shots, rebounding, running the floor. He can handle it. This is a kid who's got incredible, incredible potential. And I think I'm glad Cleveland's got some players here. And, you know, the sad part with Cleveland is they've lost now Colin Sexton and Ricky Rubio. No. And Sexton going down didn't hurt him at all, but I think Rubio will.
Yeah, no, I think so. You know, we have to resort to Rondo now on his eighth team.
Yeah.
I think it would be clearly be acclamation it would be Mobley right now. I want to ask you, Jeff, as a guy who saw these guys, or one of the guys that we had never seen, and that's Jalen Green. But then the 1 and 2 picks were Kate Cunningham and Jalen Green. That was pretty obvious. They're each averaging 15 points a game. Cunningham's shooting 39% on threes. Green shooting 40, so it's a wash there. Their numbers are very similar. They play the same amount of minutes roughly. Cunningham 32, Green 30. How would you evaluate this point in the early, you know, one quarter or half of the season?
Both are shooting it better than I thought. Kate came out really, really slow shooting the three.
Yeah,
he was hurt. He was hurt to start the season, so he missed the first few games. Came out, struggled shooting the three. He started to shoot it much better than I thought he would, because last year, I just didn't know if it was a little bit of a fluke at Oklahoma State, because he'd be the first to admit he did. He was like, you know, I know I got to become a better perimeter shooter. You know, Jalen Green, unfortunately, both these guys have put up numbers for teams that stink, which generally is the case, right? KD did that his first year in Seattle.
Right.
Like, you're going to put up numbers that sometimes are inflated, because you're playing when you're down 20, 30 points consistently against second, third unit guys that frankly, you know, don't care about defending against Kate Cunningham or Jalen Green. They just want to get theirs. So we got to see more, but I think, you know, they've both been good, not great. And to me, the biggest surprise so far has been Franz Wagner. Again, another guy for a team that hasn't been very good, Bob.
No.
In Orlando.
They are way off the radar screen.
Way off the radar because they're not good. But the thing with Wagner is everybody always thought he was kind of a tease at Michigan. And like, all right, like, is he going to show up? Mm-hmm. Isn't he? You knew he had the skill level. And he's kind of that new age forward that everybody likes because, you know, he can shoot it.
He
can put it on the floor. He can pass it. He's that multidimensional forward. I think ultimately this is going to be a good group that gets better, the rookies, but nobody has emerged as like even LaMelo, right? LaMelo was a guy that just absolutely emerged and also electrified. He's a guy that you want to watch because his passing ability is so incredible and he's flashy and fun. And the other part was, let's face it, like Charlotte was pretty good last year. That was the other thing. They were better. Detroit stinks. Houston stinks. I know they went on a little bit of a run, but they stink. And Orlando stinks.
There's a guy that is gladdening my heart a little because, we always find a guy we like and you know, you want to see how he does. And he's doing well under the radar screen. That's Chris Duarte.
Duarte.
I love him. I can't even pronounce his name right.
Yeah, he's awesome.
That's terrific. But he's getting significant time. He's getting 29 minutes a game. He's averaging 13. He's shooting, 43, 35 on twos. But he's getting, you know, I liked him. I caught my eye and I liked him. I'm happy to see that he's doing well at the bottom. That's the bottom of the lottery. He was the 13th pick.
Great piece. He was ready to come in. You know, that was the one thing was he was a 4-year guy in college at Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably why I like them, by the way. I always try to find those guys. I definitely like them. Interesting draft Jeff, just apropos of nothing we're talking about, but just that there were 8 international players in the first round, yep. 7 countries, starting with number 6, Josh Giddey from down under.
He's been good.
Number 7, Jonathan Kuminga from Congo.
Yeah, he has a play.
Franz Wagner, yep. Joshua Primo, who's a Canadian, getting a little time. Operin Segun, Turkey, getting a little time. Kai Jones from Bahamas. And then the 2 Spaniards, Usman Garoba and Salty Aldama. And then with an asterisk, born in Japan, but very much raised in America and an alumnus of famous Oak Hill Academy, which I did a story on 35 years ago, literally.
Wow.
And that would be Cam Thomas. People don't realize he was born in Yokohama.
I didn't know that. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
Giddey's been good. Sengun's been good. When I watch him, he really impresses me with his footwork, his toughness.
Yeah.
He's been good. And another one you didn't mention.
Oh, go ahead.
Omar Yurtseven has played great.
I didn't get with him to the second. That's got to be second round.
Right. I don't know. I think he was a couple years ago undrafted, played overseas.
Oh, okay. 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 Okay.
And the Heat called him up because they were thin. Yurtseven started his career at NC State and then transferred to Georgetown. And he's been incredible rebounding the ball, Bob. You got to look at his rebounding numbers lately.
Okay. I shall.
He's been insane. Now, again, it's all about timing right now, right? For like a kid like Yurtseven, well, guys, again, protocols, they're out or injuries, whatever. Yeah. He gets an opportunity. This kid's going to stick in the league and probably make a lot of money in the league now.
Keep my eye on him. Yeah, it's hard to keep track of everybody these days. Honestly, yep. God, you know, it's just impossible. But anyway,
No one guy has emerged as the superstar, right? The guy you're going
to
like.
Oh, one more guy to note. That he's been pretty damn good, and that's Scotty Barnes.
Yes,
Scotty Barnes should be noted here.
Herb Jones, another one who's playing. If you love defense, watch New Orleans's Herbert Jones. Sorry, he likes to go by Herbert.
Herbert, okay.
He is awesome out of Alabama. One of my favorite college players of all time. He can lock down 1 through 4 and lock them down.
Right, very good.
Well, you touched on one of the Ball brothers, but we're going to get to that coming up on how they've exceeded expectations. But first, we're going to tell you about LinkedIn. These days, it can be hard to find and hire the right candidates for your small business. That's why LinkedIn Jobs makes it easier to find the people that you want to talk to faster and for free. Focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience and use screening questions to get your role in front of the most qualified. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs #1 in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. So LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/scribe. That's linkedin.com/scribe to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. We all know about Papa Ball, I should say. And this guy was just so unique and out there. And I thought there's no way these kids are going to be able to shake the old man. But Bob, both Ball brothers, have they exceeded expectations? And now maybe the father wasn't so crazy.
Well, he still could be crazy. I think a tribute goes to the kids. I think that they figured it out. That they love their dad, I'm sure. And I appreciate that he's always, in his mind, done what he felt was best for them and all that. And I think they appreciate it. But they're just different personalities. And I've been impressed from the get-go Alonzo and his personality. And I used to kid the first year, his rookie year. I said, I wonder what daily life is like. Because this is when the father was still in very much in form, you know, very much in the news, very much couldn't kids. And I wonder what daily life was. Did they kid him? They say, oh, your dad went off again, you know, or and he laughs. I don't worry. I don't pay attention to it. I just wondered about that. But both of those kids, I mean, those guys, those young men, have figured out how to negotiate being who, you know, Lonzo's, LeVar's kids, you know, but being their own people, and fitting into the environments that they, you know, and where they function and where they work. I'm impressed with those two for that reason.
Listen, Lonzo, I was never worried about because he had already established himself for the most part, you know, as I guess I shouldn't say never worried about, but his IQ for the game, he was so even keel, never got rattled with all the stuff that was going on with Lonzo at UCLA. And then obviously when I was in Lithuania and LeVar took shots at Luke Walton, Lonzo never let it affect him, never came out, found a way to navigate it so well of still being good with the coach, with Luke Walton or whatever coach, Steve Alford at UCLA, yet never taking shots at his father. Like, he was just so pure with everything he did. And again, I love Lonzo. I love the way he plays the game. He plays it really in a way that Bob Ryan grew up watching the game. And I grew up even watching the game, which is pure, like just moving the ball, making the right pass, not really being flashy. And now he's shooting 42% from three, by the way.
Ooh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which was always the big question about Lonzo. Can't shoot, can't shoot, can't shoot.
Particularly since he was shooting it from his hip.
Right.
You know.
And then you go to LaMelo, and I won't waste time with the middle one, LiAngelo. I'd always said he's not an NBA player. He's a good overseas player. But LaMelo, my biggest thing with LaMelo was always the bad habits that he accrued over the years. And I saw it firsthand in Lithuania. Mm-hmm. Like bad habits being put in, but he's found a way to overcome some of the mistakes that I think his father made because he is so talented. And his court vision is elite level, just like Lonzo's, but they play the game so different. Like as simple as Lonzo makes it, LaMelo makes it flashy. He's the youngest kid. You know, he was, when I always talked to LeVar or any of the kids, they would say like, LaMelo is the favorite one. He can do anything. He's the youngest one, right? So he'd get away with whatever he wanted. He would jack threes. He might airball three straight and LeVar would still yell at him to keep shooting the ball. And so he had that rope, but listen, his numbers and his impact is incredible. And those bad habits, like he wasn't a good teammate in Lithuania, but you know, I forget he was like 15 years old.
Yeah.
Like he was 15 playing with grown men. They didn't like him because he didn't take it seriously then, but he's grown up. Obviously I haven't been around him in years. But he has grown up, which typically you do between years 15 and 19, right? And now you look at him, his teammates love him. Why? He plays with a passion, with a flair, and he gets him the basketball, Gary. That's what he does. He makes life easier for Miles Bridges, for Gordon Hayward, for whoever. If you want to play with somebody, you want to play with this dude because if you're running the court, he is going to find you.
You can't overestimate what you just said in terms of how that affects a basketball team and players when they know that there's a guy whose raison d'etre is to get you the ball. And I lived through this in my embryonic days covering the NBA. The Celtics, a name that will mean nothing to modern people at all, but and that was Hambone Williams. He's my standard of, I'm not lying, they get the garbage time. And there was lots of it because the Celtics were so good in those days. And they get the garbage time. And guys would be practically crawling over each other to get up to sit next to Heinsohn to get his attention, to get in the game, to be able to play with Hambone Williams, because Hambone was going to get everybody. His whole thing was making everybody else look good. And he was a phenomenal passer. But, I mean, so I learned right away what the effect that can have. But in general terms, people, you know, Larry Bird, you know, his passing was contagious for that team. And so you can't overestimate what that does, how good that is for a team.
More on the subject.
I'm happy I'm wrong. I'm happy I was wrong because I didn't know if LaMelo would make it, Gary. I just felt like, again, the bad habits, the immaturity. He didn't want to defend at all. And I'm really, really, really happy I'm wrong. I haven't talked to any – I talked to Lonzo for a second when he came into Boston. But I haven't talked to LaMelo or LeVar, obviously. And my relationship with LeVar ended poorly, as we know. But I always felt – like bad for those kids in a way. And it was hard to feel bad for a 15-year-old.
Are you telling me you didn't get a Christmas card? Any kind of a happy holidays?
What was that? You didn't get any free sneakers? What were the sneakers? The big what?
Big ball brands.
Big ball brands.
I was afraid. I was afraid of Big Baller Brand. If you put him on, you might like remember Zion when he blew out his Nike.
I know.
I was afraid if I start wearing those and jump around and do anything athletic, I might, you know, they might blow up because sold them for $350. They probably cost $2.50.
Well, yeah, but you know, it also might not have been his shoes, Jeff. I just hate to tell you. But as we say goodbye here, and one of the problems is we had some technical difficulties here with my phone. I called this up, and maybe we can get Bob to sing a few bars. Here we go.
Shows them barely white, just a jackknife has old Mac Heath, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites.
Time to go.
What is going on?
Scarlet.
Bring back the knife, man. Bobby Darin. That's the one song he sings in the car.
Fancy gloves, though. Where's old Maggie?
We'll talk to you next week.
But never trace a red.
Take it home, Bob Ryan.
Oh, the sidewalks, Ooh, Sunday morning,
All right.
Eyes, a body. Who's the best part? Eek! News in life.